Matthew 4:18. I want to start there. I'm going to try to jump out of the box here a little bit tonight. Usually I'll stick at one portion of scripture and somewhat dissect it, but I'm going to make three scriptural references, and I hope you engage your mind tonight. I hope you're not, I know it's tough sometimes we get on Facebook or we do whatever texting or whatever we do, but I hope that you'll engage this tonight because I believe so strongly in my spirit that this word represents not only where I am in my life, but where many of you are in your lives. So I hope that for the next half hour or so that you'll really engage in this. So Matthew 4:18-22, and Jesus said, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Who did they follow? Jesus. I'm going to make two more references here. If you turn with me to Luke 22:31. Luke 22:31. Somebody has a Bible out there. If you just say amen when you get to it. Amen. Okay. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. But he said to him, Lord, I'm not ready to go with you, both I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now he who has money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Are you with me? I want to make one more scriptural reference, and then I'm going to get right into it here. I want you to go to John 21:1, and I'm going to read through 15. You with me? After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael and Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I go a fishing. And they said to him, we are going also with you. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciples who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far off land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. They, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid on it, and the bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net onto land full of large fish, 153, although there were so many, the net was not broken. And I just want to, when I read that, if you don't mind, I just want to stop for a minute, and I want to tell someone in this room something. And I felt this of the Holy Spirit so strong when I was preparing this, and this has very little to do with what I'll speak about tonight, but I do want to say this. Do you remember a similar story where the net broke? There was and it came to me when I read this, the net did not break. The net did not break. And I felt the Lord say there was another similar story. And I had remembered hearing it in a service at some point. And I look back and it was in Luke 5 where the net actually came to the point of breaking. And I want to tell you tonight, and I know that this might sound strange to some, but there might be some people. I know there's at least a couple in this room that will cling to this and will feel the Spirit of God into this. This year for 2017, you've had some breakups, you've had some mess ups, you've had some issues, you've had some obstacles, you've had some struggles. But this year, the Lord says to you, your net will not break. You've gone through a season of trial. You've gone through a season of not knowing whether you should go right or left. You felt uncertain about everything. You've almost become to the point where when something good comes to you, you're almost a pessimist about everything that comes to you because you remember back to this happened, that happened, this broke, that didn't work. And everything you come to, you have a sense of it won't work. But the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you tonight, someone in this room, some person in particular in this room, your net will not break in 2017. Do you receive that tonight? Your net won't break. And people won't like it. Some people will be upset about it. Some people will be jealous about it. Some people will envy you. They'll talk about you. They'll gossip about you. But the Holy Spirit said, your net won't break. Verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you, knowing it was the Lord? And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he had been raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then Jesus answered to him and said, feed my lambs. Thank you, Lord. I really feel like as I prepared for this that it was so impressed on me of the Holy Spirit to give this specific title. And so in that sense, I want to give you a title tonight. The title of this message is Strengthen Thy Brother. Strengthen Thy Brother. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to do what we can in our own strength. Father, I can't preach, I can't communicate, I can't say a word unless you let me tonight. Take me in your hands, take me, Father, in your wings tonight. I believe you to do it. I believe you to preach. I believe you to minister. I believe you, Father, for your anointing. Make your word relevant, life-changing. Make the text connect with the people and the people connect with the text. Not that it would just be hearing, but they would feel your Holy Spirit. I believe you to do it tonight. I ask you to do it tonight. Increase our faith tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I've read these portions of Scripture 100 times, maybe 1,000 times. I've been in services 1,000 times. Listen, when you're a PK, right, Carlton? You heard all the sermons. You've heard the things, these common stories in the book read so many times. But I just feel more so lately than ever that every time I read something, every time I flip the Scripture open and read something, I feel as though when we're asking of the Lord to reveal something to us, Father, make it relevant to my mind and to my spirit, I believe that He'll lift the words off the page and make it relevant to where you are in your life. If it's not relevant, it doesn't work. It has to be relevant to our spirits. So why do I say this? I encourage you to continue to flip the Scripture open. Flip your Bible open, even if you have to force yourself. You see people force-fed. Force-feed yourself at times. So we have to keep learning. We have to develop. We have to press in. I was praying on what to share tonight, and I believe the Lord gave me an explanation of where I am and where many are, like I said to you. And I was reading an article in the New York Times, and you might not love the New York Times, but there is some information worth reading there. And I was reading an article, a very interesting article to me, on post-traumatic stress disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And as a precursor, I'd like to mention what the psychologist in this article was explaining. In this particular article, they were explaining the effects of 9/11 and exactly what it did to people and how people were affected by it and how they handled it and how they internalized what actually happened on 9/11. Very interesting article, very, very informative. And what it said in the article is that 10,000, it's numbered by 10,000 people, the police officers, the firemen, and the civilians that struggle with PTSD daily. Stick with me. I'm going to go a long way about around the chicken coop to get somewhere tonight, but just stick with me a few minutes. And it began to explain the effects that people had. They dealt with alcoholism. They dealt with drug abuse, and they connected the happening of 9/11 to these things. Alcoholism, sexual tendencies, violence, anger, uncontrolled anger, various issues, trauma of all sorts, trauma. Because at some certain time in all of our lives, and it might not be to the magnitude of 9/11, it might not, your life might not be to the magnitude of, and it went on to talk about Katrina, went on to talk about several huge happenings, but it then continued to talk about trauma in our own lives and how we relate and how we handle it and how we go through it and how we react. How I treat Bradley because of a trauma that I had in my life. How I treat my wife because of a trauma that I had in my life at some point. And again, it talked about all these tendencies that we pick up somewhere along the way. Trauma. It could be a car accident. It could be a death in a family. It could be, for me, as a young man, it was a struggle in school, teacher, a specific teacher that I just had trauma over. Even to this day, to discuss it, Ron brought it up to me a few weeks ago. He said, I remember you walking home from school after something happening. And it was such a traumatic time for me as a young man. And I begin to relate this article to where some of us are in life. We're reacting to traumas. We're reacting to situations. Our emotions are struck. The way we treat people, we're treating people a certain kind of way because of the way what we've been through, the traumas of our own lives. Am I just preaching to myself here? Trauma, issues, tendencies, problems, divorce. You know where I'm going. Loss of a job, trauma. Loss of a friend, trauma. And our trauma creates an unsettled atmosphere, an unstable environment, typically mentally, but we turn it physical, don't we? Why? Because we act off of that instability. You with me tonight? You see people react in all kinds of ways. And I could get real specific and real in the gutter and real, but do it on your own. What is the trauma that you're dealing with? How are you dealing with the trauma of your situation? Are you unstable? And we respond to trauma in all kinds of different ways. Some people are quiet. Some people are loud. Some people are suicidal. Some people run. Some people eat. That was supposed to be funny. This will be funny because it'll be about me. I've gone through some trauma lately. I've gone through some difficulty lately. Guess where I get caught this week? Todd's laughing because I got caught by him. Guess where I go? Jeremy and I go to lunch, and I picked. And guess where I went? Went to Wendy's. I'm walking out, and I'm like this with the bag on the sidewalk. I parked around back real, didn't I, Jerry? I did good, didn't I? Hid right out in the back. Got the bag in my hand like it's a bag of crack or something. And I look across the parking lot, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Todd's got to be walking across the parking lot this exact time. He says to me afterwards, this is a funny story. Can I just stop and can we just talk a minute? He says to me afterwards, he goes, I didn't see you. You didn't have to say hi. You should have just thrown the bag in the truck and then said hi. I'm like, yeah, I should have done that. But shifting from something that's funny, right, to something that's so real. What is my tendencies? I get stressed out. What do? I eat trauma. And this is binges of all kinds: drug addictions, food addictions, sex addictions, money addictions, job addictions. Some of us, when we get into trauma, we just work. We just work and work and work. We run from everything. When we face trauma, we run from church. We run from our pastors. We run from our mentors. We run from people who love us. We treat them terrible. We talk about them. We gossip about them. Traumatic situations. I can't help but be very blunt. So if I'm too blunt for you tonight, love me later, okay? It's particularly hard, and I want to say this. It's particularly hard for church people. You know why it's hard? Because we're trained to come into church. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the Lord. Oh, I feel glory. And inside, you feel sick as hell. You feel tore apart as anything. And you can't tell anybody because in your mind, you think you're letting God down by not saying that you're not okay. But the problem is, you can't be healed unless you get real. That's my saying for 2017. You can't get healed unless you get real. You go around, oh, I'm perfect. I'm totally fine. A few people asked me this week, what'd I tell them? Hell on earth. Everything, every devil in hell's been after me. I've been running every second. My faith is in a fight. Trauma affects us in different ways, and we all respond to it in different ways. Why do I talk about this? Because I think we need to be smart to it. But there's traumas that we can't get over easily, And you don't have to cover for God by acting like everything is fine when, quite frankly, you're not okay. One of the tendencies we have when losing anything is we grab on to anything to stabilize our environment. We want to stabilize. We want to fix it. We want to normalize the situation. If I'm walking and all of a sudden I lose any amount of security in my leg, I'm going to grab on to Brad because Brad's near me right now. I walked up to Brad. I lost my footing. I lost power in my leg, so I'm going to grab on to Brad. Here's the problem with me grabbing on to Brad. Well, let me make this right. Me grabbing on to Brad's a good thing. Brad's a very positive person. His life is headed in a terrific direction. He's made some tremendous changes, and we're lucky. I'm lucky to have him as a brother. You're lucky to have him as a leader in the house of the Lord. But here's the problem. If I'm not by Brad, Brad, I'm trying to keep it together tonight. Working hard. Get a text this week for Brad. Hey man, how you doing? I'm praying for you. I believe in you. You got it, bro. You got it together. It's just what I needed. He's normalizing. He's stabilizing. He's helping me. He's supporting me. The problem is when we put ourselves in a position where we don't have anybody. People, I know all kinds of people, they're so alone. They have nobody. They have no one to fall back on. The only thing they have to fall back on is relationships where there's no stability. There's no me grabbing onto Brad. There's no me grabbing onto somebody. We're grabbing onto things that are plain unhealthy. And we end up perverting those things further because we're grabbing onto things that can't support us. That's why when my dad talks about decisions, making decisions for mentors in your life, you don't know everything. I wish I could just grab people sometime and just look them in the eyes and say, I love you, but you don't know everything. You don't have a mentor in your life. You know what that tells me? What does that tell me? That tells me that you think you know everything about everything. I need people in my life that when I'm going through hell and high water, I can grab onto them and say, I can't do this on my own. I need you to speak life into me. Texts all week from a few of my brothers. Chris Busniak, Ron Cervone, Jim Booty reached out to me. Todd reached out. Texts all over the place. Stabilize. Stabilizing. Normalizing my environment. Well, that's just not me. That Ryan, I just don't do that, Ryan. It's just not, I'm not that kind of guy. You will be. You will be. One time or another, you're going to get there. You're going to get there. You're either going to learn it from your teachers. I happen to be the teachers tonight. You're going to learn it from the teacher or you're going to learn it from the pain. Tell me I'm wrong. We need great pastors. We need great teachers. Another thing that people do in an attempt to normalize everything is we try to go back to what is familiar. We try to normalize ourselves. We go back. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by going back? We go back. I'm not just talking. See, we always relate things in church. We always relate things in church to sin. Always. Well, he's living in sin. He left the church because he's living. It's not always about sin. It's about going back to what God moved you out of. Where did the Lord take you from? Where has he brought? It might not have been a bad thing. It wasn't a negative thing, but the Lord moved you on from that. And this is where I want to pick up the scripture. I pick up the scripture and I make this scripture a reference for Simon, Peter. In Luke 21, in the middle of being traumatized by the death of Jesus, right? Luke 21. In the middle of being traumatized by this, Simon Peter does something that probably 90% of the room does. We go back to what was familiar. We can run back home. Well, I'm going back to mom's. I got to run over to mom's house because I like the smell of her house. It's not a negative thing. And for Peter, it's not something that's sin. Fishing's not sin. If fishing's sin, me and my boys are going to hell with Justin Urine. We're all going to hell. Fishing's not sin. The problem is fishing represents for Peter a portion of his past. Oh, I'm going somewhere tonight. Just stick with me a few minutes. I'm going to bullet right down the center aisle to you. Peter ends up saying, I go fishing. And who's he say it to? Says it to his brothers. Hey, come on, go with us. I'm going out fishing. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been ripped apart, body ripped apart. And there's rumors at this point in the scripture. Stay with me now. There's rumors that he's risen from the dead. Here's the problem. If he even talks about that, if he even makes reference to that, he's on a hit list to get killed. He can't even talk about it. Jesus didn't. Jesus, in his mind, in Peter's mind, Jesus let him down. He didn't establish a ministry. He didn't establish a kingdom. He didn't do the things that Peter thought Jesus should do for him before he died. So what's Peter do? He gets mad. He gets frustrated. He doesn't know where to go. He doesn't know what to do. And what's he say? I'm going fishing. I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going back to the bar. I'm going back to that girl's house. I know. I'm going back to that guy's house. I'm going back to crack. I'm going back to alcohol. I'm going back to that other thing that I know I shouldn't go back to. I'm going back. In an endeavor to normalize, let me make it normal again. People have a tendency to try to stabilize themselves with old crap. And this is what sends Peter back to the boat. Are you with me tonight? He says, I'm going fishing. Ran off my notes so far. I'm trying to pick up myself here. Have you ever had an issue that you've been struggling to break all of your life? Isn't it amazing that the minute we get saved and delivered and we commit ourselves to the Lord, there's some things that are gone for good. We never struggle with them again. It's a Holy Spirit experience. We never have to deal with them again. And then, there's them things, there's them tendencies that we have to fight all of our lives to overcome. That's where Peter is. I'm going to go fishing. I'm out of here. And it depends on when you check me. Depends on when you come and check me out. But depends on what day of the week you check me, that I'm all clean, that I'm all tight. But if you check me on that wrong day, I might have a little something going on that I don't quite want you to know about, or you don't quite want me to know about. And what happens in church, and I've watched this in church, watched it my whole life, when you get up on a mountain and you start doing real good, you start getting real holy, and you start feeling real good, you get real self-righteous. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You get real self-righteous. You start looking down your nose at everybody. I can't believe she did this. I can't believe Sister so-and-so is up on the choir and she did this and that and another thing. We get real judgmental. We get real self-righteous. See, the problem with that is, and people gossip. People love to talk. They love to. And gossip, I believe that it's one of, you know, we talk about sin. Gossip is a sin. It is not holy unto the Lord for you to talk about your brother and your sister. It's not holy. I don't care if they mess up so hard that there's a reason to talk about it. I don't care if they screw up so bad. You know what we're called to? Just love them. Because here's the problem when we get real self-righteous and we get real holy and we get into gossip and all kinds. It's 8 o'clock. I'm almost done. We get real self-righteous. We have to eat all the things that we talked about other people about. Yeah. Can I get a witness, Lenny? I want to give you 4 quick things. And if you'll grab these, I believe it'll help your life. 4 quick things. Number 1, Jesus says in Matthew 4:18, we just read it, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. In other words, follow me and I'll take you out of the element that you're in. Follow me and I'll take you somewhere. I'll make you something you can't be on your own. Don't follow the job. Don't follow the career. Don't follow the money. Don't follow the person. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you what you're supposed to be. The problem is young people, they want you to tell them, what am I supposed to be? And here's my answer as a parent. Here's my answer as a dad to 2 young men. Follow Christ and you'll find your purpose. Follow the Lord, teaching over in the big kids. What am I going to be? You know, it's always a conversation. I want to be this, and I want to be that, and I want to be this. I want to be whatever God has called me to be. It says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll make you what you are not today, and I'll direct you to what your destiny is. Do you receive that? Number 2. Say number 2. Number 1 is what? Follow me. Number 2 thing that Jesus says, he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Let me just break this right down, because some people when they read this are like, sift me as wheat, farmer talk, right, Jer? Sift me as wheat. You know what sifting as wheat does? It separates you. It tears you apart. It messes with you. Satan has desired to tear you apart. Here's what we're not aware of in church. We're not aware all the time that we have an enemy to fight. I was having a conversation with someone before service. They said it's been attack after attack after attack after attack. Here's why. Very simply, your faith is in a fight. The enemy wants to control you. He wants to manipulate you. He wants to control your talk. He wants to control your language. He wants to control everything you do. So here's my question for you. Is Satan controlling your thoughts, your speech, your action, or is the Lord? Don't answer me. But I bet you when I got into that gossip thing, I felt the Holy Spirit jump all over me. I bet you that there might be a few people in the room that you're being used of the enemy. He's desired to sift you as wheat. He's desired to separate you. I'm going to leave it there. Is that enough said? Number 2, he wants to sift you as wheat. Number 3, say number 3. I'm burning here. Number 3. Jesus said, number 1, follow me. Number 2, Satan had his desire to sift you as wheat. He wants you. He wants to control you. Number 3, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Here's the deal. Okay? Chuck's in Bible study last night, Wednesday night. Lifts his hand, says, I want to say something. Gold nuggets. I prayed for you that your faith would remain strong.
Chuck didn't tell everybody in the room that they're not going to fail. Because you know what Jesus said to Simon? He says, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. So what's that tell me? That tells me that Jesus already knew that Simon was going to mess up. Are you with me? Here's what he did pray, though. And here's what Chuck said to some men last night. I prayed for you that your faith would stay strong. We're going to mess up. Don't lose your faith. Your faith is in a fight. The enemy wants your faith. My wife said to me this week, she said, young lady died in the community. Lady said to her, how does God let that happen? How does he allow that to happen? How many preachers would bring that up on a Thursday night? Not many. Let me give you an answer on that. Here's what the enemy wants to do in a situation like that. He wants to take the faith that you have in who God is. He wants to take it. And he wants to go, oh, yeah, see the hope that you have? See the faith that you have? See the trust in me that you have? That don't mean anything. See what just happened? See what went on? Satan wants to use something like that to destroy your faith. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Only he knows the day or the time. If you think further into it than that, you're going to tear yourself up and Satan's going to take your faith. So what's number one? Follow me. What's number two? Yeah, you forgot quick. Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Number three, I prayed for you. And number four, and this is where I've gone a long way to get to, and it's five after. Last thing, Jesus says, when you have returned to me, number one, he said what? Follow me. Number two, he says, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. Number three, he says, I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And number four, what's he say? After all that happened, after you went through all that, after your faith was in a fight, after I prayed for you, after I told you, follow me and I'll make you what you're supposed to be, not what you want to be. You think I ever wanted to sing? Do you think I ever wanted to be up here singing? You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. I never wanted to stand up here. Never. But the funny thing is, God never looks at you and says, hey, what do you want to be today? Hey, you know what? Let me get the elders of the church together, and we're going to discuss what you're going to be. Never does that. Never does that. But he does tell us this. Follow me, and I'll show you who you are. He says, number two, Satan wants you. He wants you. He wants your thought life. He wants to rip your family apart. Number three, I'll pray for you that your faith wouldn't fail. And number four, the most important part. And here's what I came to tell you tonight through the unction of the Holy Spirit. All over this place. I feel it even right now as I'm about to say it. Some of you have no clue what I'm going to say. Some of you do. After you went through following Christ, after you made that commitment, after you went through Satan's trickery, after he said, I pray that your faith will last. You know what he says last? He says, then when all that's happened, when all that goes down, you know what I want you to do? Strengthen your brother. Strengthen you. Not talk about you. Not pick on you. Not persecute you. Not tell you how to do what you're doing. Doesn't say any of that. It's interesting because in church, that's what we do. Oh, he could do this better. She could do that better. The pastor, he could really work on X, Y. You know, Bradley in that Bible study, you know, you could really work on a few things. Doesn't say any of that. It says, number four, strengthen thy brother. So here's what I want to ask you. Are you mad at me? I want to ask you something. Are you following Jesus towards your destiny? Number one. Number two, have you fallen into working for Satan more than the things of God? That's a very serious question. You need to go home and ask yourself that. Number three, is your faith growing or is your faith failing? Number three thing. This is what Jesus asked us to do. Now we have to ask ourselves, am I doing this? And number four, are we actively, I love this. Go Jesus. I love you. Number four, are you strengthening your brother and sister? And go to church wherever you want to go to church. Wherever you like to sit, wherever you want to go to church wherever you want to. Them four things that I just gave you tonight, you know what they're going to do? You know what they're going to do? They're going to chase you around wherever you go. You're not going to run from it, are you? Thank you, Lord. It's 8:10, and I'm done. Four things. What's number one? Follow me. What's number two? What's number three? Pray for you that your faith would remain strong. What's number four? I want to ask a real pointed question. No games, no raise your hand and then all this and, you know, then stand up and all that kind of stuff. None of that. I want to ask you a real pointed question. If you're struggling in any one of them areas, I want you to stand up and I want you to meet me because I'm going to be the first one struggling right here. So if you leave me alone up here, I'm going to be mad at you, okay? So if you're struggling in any of them four areas, I want you to stand up and I want you to walk down here. I want to pray together.